produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me today on this show. My name is Dorothy Gates, and I am so honored that you are here. My desire is that each mommy that gathers around today would just find encouragement and strength, a little bit of inspiration, just to continue on your motherhood journey. Because listen, motherhood is hard, and we are in a time in our life where I think motherhood is being challenged in a greater way than ever before, because we're facing obstacles at a whole different level than mothers in the past have. We have distractions that are coming at us from all different ways and hitting us in every single area. Distractions that are so different than, you know, what my mother had when she was going through her motherhood journey. So, you know, not only do we have distractions, man, we have a global pandemic that's hitting at our door, you know. So, is our motherhood journey hard? Yes. Is our motherhood journey a challenge? Yes. Is it being tested in today? Yes, it is. But y'all, the beautiful thing is God does not allow us to go through anything that He will not give us the strength to get through. So the beautiful thing is that in this motherhood journey, God is there with us, giving us the tools, giving us the ability to tackle every temptation, to defeat every distraction, to just calm the chaos that comes at us. And I love that. I love that. I want you to think about that again. He allows us to tackle the temptation. He allows us to defeat the distractions. And He allows us to calm the chaos. It's not through us. It's not through anything we can do. It's not through our own strength. It's not through our might. But it's through Him. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can do these things. God says, "For we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord." So today, I'm going to put a challenge out there for you to accept joy in the motherhood journey, to allow yourself to embrace it, to allow yourself to just completely enjoy it, knowing that God has called you for such a time as this. Now listen, we have been going through the book, the study, Distracted, that I wrote last year. And it's hashtag distracted because everything revolves around social media. And so got to have that hashtag in there. But we live in a state of hashtag distracted. And today we're on chapter 9. We're talking about distracted from doing the small things. And y'all, that lines up exactly with what I was talking about this morning, you know, just a few moments ago as an introduction. What we do as moms, we get so busy being busy that a lot of times we become distracted from the important things. Now, almost 99.9% of the time, the things we're doing are good things. We've gotten so busy doing good things that we've gotten distracted and began to neglect the important things. So has life become so busy that you have become distracted from doing the small things? Now, what does that even mean when I say the small things? Because just a second ago, I said the important things. Okay, so let's just talk about the small things. Sometimes in life, we get so distracted trying to reach our goals, to chase down those big dreams. We get so focused on the big accomplishments, and we concentrate on those big projects. We get so busy, you know, in the hustle of life, that the hustle demands so much of our attention that we fail to remember the small things. You know, the small things, like being a kind person to other people, volunteering for community service or cleanups, visiting the nursing home, which I know at this present state, that's not an option for us, but visiting shut-ins, making cookies for a neighbor, maybe teaching a Sunday school class, or doing something behind the scene that nobody doesn't get any attention and it doesn't get the credit. What about those small things like your motherhood journey? You know, the things that nobody sees. And not exposing your motherhood journey in such a highlighted fashion that it makes Facebook followers and social media followers think you have like this picture perfect family. Nope, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the small things that nobody sees. You see, we live in a day and age where everything is all about the big and the amazing and the flashy and the things that get all the attention. And we get so distracted by all those big things, all the big things, that we neglect the small things. Listen, don't neglect those small opportunities to serve your family, to help them. Don't ignore the still small voice of the Holy Spirit that leads you to do the small things. Those small things that seem insignificant. Listen, more than likely, the small things will never be recorded in a history book. They're not going to be seen on the news. They're going to be read in a newspaper or go viral on social media. But we need to remember this very important fact, that anything that's done for the Lord is never insignificant. Why? Because little is much when God is in it. And God can take those small things and turn them into big things. It's the small gestures that make the difference in the world. I recently wrote a post on my Instagram page and my Facebook page. And if you want to follow me there, it's under Dorothy Hill Gates. But it said, you know, if you want to change the world, then go and love on your family. Go home. If you want to change the world, if you want to do something big, go home and love your family. I know you think, wait, but I want to make a difference in the world. Okay, well, go love your family. That's where it starts. It starts behind the scenes without anyone noticing. It starts with having a little bit more respect for your husband, having a little bit more giving a little bit more attention to your children, turning the TV off, putting the phone down, and being attentive to your family. That's where it starts. You know, the Bible is full of instances where we look at these Bible heroes, but if we were to honestly break it down, these Bible heroes really did not do anything big, and I doubt would have even been social media like impressive in today's society. Like, it would have probably not even been noteworthy in today's society. But these people did something small. Each one of these Bible heroes made a huge difference by doing something small. And I think Mother Teresa is the one who said, she said something like, a big difference is by having a big heart, or, you know, small differences is made with a big heart. Anyway, she's talking about, even though it seems it's insignificant, if you do it with love and compassion, then remembering that some maketh a difference, having compassion, and some having compassion maketh a difference. So even though it seems small, it seems minute, when you do it with a big heart, when you do it with love, then big things can happen. So let's just talk about some of these Bible heroes. When I say their names, man, you know these stories. You know exactly what they did, but honestly, it's not anything huge. So we look at Ruth. What did Ruth do? She just followed her mother-in-law. She stayed loyal. Loyalty. She followed. That is not a huge thing, is it? And especially in today's society, you never hear about loyalty anymore. That would never really make a huge impact on the world. You know, being loyal to the people around you, being loyal to your pastor, being loyal to your president, being loyal to your governors, being loyal to the leadership that God has put in your life, being loyal to your family members. Woo. We live in a society now that the first time you disagree with someone, man, you've practically disowned them. You don't stand, you know, by their side. You criticize them. You know, loyalty is almost a, man, like a forgotten trait, characteristic of the Bible. But because of Ruth's loyalty, she changed the fate of their future. And you can find her beautiful story in the book of Ruth, how her desire to be loyal and faithful to her mother allowed her to meet a wonderful husband named Boaz. And then later on, we see the bloodline of the Savior that connected to Ruth. And it goes back to Ruth made a decision to follow her mother-in-law and to be loyal. What about Rahab? Rahab the harlot. Rahab decided to go against everything she knew, the security, the safety of her own people, to hide two spies and protect them from the Israelite army. She went against her own people because she knew there was something special about the chosen ones, the chosen children of God. And she stepped out and hid and protected the Israelite spies. What was the result of that? She saved the lives of her entire family. She stood in a gap with a huge decision. I mean, if she had been found out, she could have been killed. But yet, She knew there was something special about these children of God. She had heard the stories, the rumors about the miracles that had happened. And she wanted a part of that. I believe it was a hope. She had a hope of a different life. Because of that hope, she stepped out in faith, hid and protected the Israelite spies, and it resulted in her entire family being saved. When the rest of the nation was destroyed, she saved an entire household. You can find that story in Joshua 2 and 6, and it's a very, very inspiring story there. What about Esther? We know Esther is Queen Esther, but way before Esther was queen, she was just a young niece. She was an orphan. She was the niece of Mordecai, and she followed his advice, stayed true to her upbringing, became the queen. And because she obeyed her uncle, putting her own life on the line, she ultimately saved the lives of the entire Israelite nation. Now, obedience. That's not a huge wow factor, is it? She obeyed. She was given godly advice. Here she is, the queen. The queen. She could have looked at her uncle and said, "Uncle, you've always been good to me." But no, I don't think so. I just don't feel like the advice you're giving me is the right advice. I love you. I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. I'm safe in the palace. I can't be concerned with what's going outside the palace. She heeded, she humbled herself, she surrendered, she obeyed, and because of that, an entire nation was saved. Y'all, we're not talking about big things. We're talking about small things. We're talking about loyalty. We're talking about hope. We're talking about obedience. Do you see this? These are not huge, huge actions of, you know, when in the moment they thought what they were doing would be recorded in the Bible, and then years and years and years and years later, we're still hearing about that. They just stayed faithful to the small things. They dedicated themselves to doing the right thing. Oh, what about my favorite, favorite, favorite Bible character? If you know me at all, if you've read any of my books, or if you just know me, you know I absolutely adore Abigail. In fact, after meeting God and Jesus in heaven, and after seeing my loved ones, I am on a mission to meet Abigail. I want to meet this girl because Abigail was a peacemaker, a quality that most of us have no idea what it even means, a peacemaker. You see, Abigail was put in a place where she stood in between David and her wicked husband, Naaman. Naaman refused to help David. David, being, I guess, short-tempered in this situation, was furious at, and here I see where David made a mistake, where he didn't just calmly seek the Lord in the matter, but he was very angry, and he decided he was going to wipe out the entire household of Naaman. Like, he was going to destroy him and kill them all. But before, I mean, he readied his men. They were on their horses. They were on their way to go take out Naaman's household. But before they could get there, Abigail came, and Abigail had food and drinks and refreshments for David and his army. And she went to him and bowed herself down and took the blame for her wicked husband. Okay, had that been me, I would have probably hit the hills running and be like, dude, peace out. You're on your own. You're an idiot. You chose not to help him and now you can die. But Abigail didn't do that. She went to David and said, David, you're going to have innocent blood on your hands. Do you really want that? Please forgive me, forgive my husband, and take this as a peace offering. And because of that, David repented and allowed God to take care of the situation. And we see where Nabon actually died that night in his own wickedness. And Abigail, the peacemaker, later on became the wife of David. What a beautiful love story. Abigail, being a peacemaker, spared the lives of her entire household. Beautiful story. And y'all, you can read that in 1 Samuel 25. I highly encourage you to read this story. It's just a beautiful story. Abigail, the peacemaker. Again, at the time, do you think Abigail was thinking that she would make a huge difference? No, she probably felt she was fixing to die, you know, meeting David and his army. But what a difference she made. She made a difference being a peacemaker. What about the widow of Zephath? This is the lady who fed Elijah, the prophet, during a famine. All right, now, let's be honest. Here's the famine. She has just enough food for her and her son, her only son, to have one more meal. They'll have one more meal, and then basically they're prepared to starve to death after this. And then here comes Elijah, the prophet, and tells her to feed him. Wow. I'll be honest, if someone came to my house and said, hey, I want you to feed me, I'd probably think, why, you have quite the audacity to come to my house and take the food out of my son's mouth to feed you. But what did this lady do? Man, she did it. She surrendered to the prophet. She followed the instructions of the man of God. She surrendered her own will and way and fed this preacher. And because of that, she experienced a miracle. A miracle. A miracle that allowed her to have food in her barrel that never ran out. It didn't run out. She survived a famine when other people were dying because she followed the instructions of the man of God. She surrendered her will and her way to the man of God. You can find that story in 1 Kings 17. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story. Y'all, it goes on and on and on. We could talk about the virtuous woman who was a hard worker and served people. We could talk about the woman with an issue of blood who had the faith to touch Jesus' garment. We could talk about Mary Magdalene, how she had a transformed life and a dedicated heart to her Lord Jesus Christ. What about Martha? Martha, oh, I love Martha. She had a heart of a servant. She was very task-oriented. In fact, I see myself and Martha a whole lot. She got distracted a lot, you know, doing the work when she should have been just doing the worship. But what's so beautiful is she had a personal friendship with the Son of God. Beautiful relationship with Him. In fact, a relationship that even allowed Jesus to raise her dead brother Lazarus from the dead. What about the Shulamite woman? Oh, talk about a heart of love, a heart of passion and devotion and respect and loyalty and adoration and affection. Listen, her love story, the way she loved her husband, such a small thing in today's society, but she was so dedicated to him that she is known as the bride from the most beautiful poem ever written. The bride of Song of Solomon. all of these things, y'all, what I'm trying to get at is each one of these heroes that we look at in the Bible, and there's so many more that we could talk about, none of them did anything spectacular. Nothing was huge. Ruth was loyal. Rahab had hope. Esther had obedience. Abigail was a peacemaker. The widow of Zephor surrendered her will. The virtuous woman was a hard worker and served people. The woman with the issue of blood had faith. Do you see this? I mean, nothing big. These are small things. Mary Magdalene had a transformed life, which led to a dedicated heart to her Lord. She was dedicated to him. Look at Martha. Martha was a friend of Jesus. She had a relationship with Jesus, something that you and I also have the opportunity to have. But Martha had a servant's heart and was task-oriented. But her friendship, she had a friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Shulamite woman had love. Today, I'm going to ask you to just hit the pause button for just a moment on your life and look at the small things in your family dynamic, small things that you have gotten so busy, you know, being busy that you've gotten away from, those small things. Maybe the small thing of family devotions. Maybe the small things of praying together as a family. Maybe the small thing of just giving your child hugs throughout the day. Maybe the small thing of turning off the TV and being more attentive. Maybe the small thing of sitting down at the table together. Maybe the small thing of being more respectful to your husband. Maybe the small thing of bragging on your husband. Maybe the small thing of sitting at the dinner table together as a family and listening. Those small things. Maybe the small thing of having a family night. Maybe the small thing of having a date night with your husband. Whatever that small thing is that the Lord is telling you right now you need to get back to, I want you to dedicate today to get back to those small things. Y'all come back next week and we'll finish this chapter out, being distracted by the small things. I love you. I'm praying for you and I'm rooting for you. Have a blessed and happy day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen.
Welcome back. Thank you all for tuning in. You are listening to What Now God radio show. Thank you so much. I am your host, Cheryl Woods, author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together. This is the show where we answer the question, what now, God? When we're dealing with life's tragedies, when we are dealing with issues personally, when we're dealing with things that may have been brought to us by our family, by our friends, the tragedies, the wars, everything that's going on with the world, we ask ourselves, what now, God? What do we do as Christians? What do we do as brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other out as we help ourselves? Again, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm just excited, so excited. Every first and third Friday, you can catch us here on the Lifted Authors Radio Network. Shout out to our CEO, Tammy Polk, as well as Miss Kayla Pageant of Finding My Way Radio Network. I am, again, your host, Cheryl Woods, and you can catch me here every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern. So listen, tune in, and tell a friend. So today's topic is, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? And as I stated before, I'm the author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together, which is available on Amazon, as well as my website, sistars.org, if you would like to have a wonderful read. But I feel like I'm kind of an expert on the topic because there's so many times throughout my 42 years of living that I just felt like my life was falling apart. And I even asked myself the question, what now, God? What do I do now that I'm dealing with this situation? So on today, we're going to discuss that topic. What do you do when you feel like your life is falling apart? Okay. And I'm going to go over three specific points that are going to help you, the listener, hopefully not just get through some things yourself, but we all know that when we go through things, sometimes it's because we are meant to help someone else get through that exact same situation. Okay. God doesn't just send us through things because he's not a loving God or he wants us to be tested. Okay. There's a purpose for every situation, every trial that we go through. And hopefully on today, on this broadcast, we can discuss that. And as always, I would love to invite you, if you are an author, if you are an activist, if you are a speaker, if you have a cause that you want to speak about on the What Now God radio show, I do invite you to apply to be a guest on one of our upcoming segments. And you can do that by going to bit.ly/WNG radio guest. Okay. So go ahead and apply. I'd love to have you on the next show. So without further ado, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? Now, the first thing is that you have to remember, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, what he said, what she said, what they said, you have to know without a doubt that God is working all things together for your good, okay? So when we're going through some things, it can seem like the worst of times, you know, whether it's a loss, whether it's, you know, a loss of job, a loss of your loved one, whether it's a health scare, you're dealing with an illness. When we're going through, what happens is our focus becomes so laser pointed to what we're going through. We're not looking up where we should be looking. We're not looking to God necessarily, but a lot of times our focus goes into that bad feeling, goes into that hurt, that pain, whatever it is that we're dealing with. But we have to remember that no matter what we're going through at that time, that God is working all things together for our good. So what does that mean? It means that, yes, I may have lost my job today. Yes, I may not know where my next meal is coming from or how I'm going to pay my bills. I may be dealing with a diagnosis from my doctor that does not look great. I may have just broken up with the love of my life. I may have just lost someone to, you know, to a tragedy that has really just taken me out of, you know, out of myself to where I'm feeling so hurt. But guess what? All of those things, God is going to work together. And sometimes we question God and we ask, why me? But we have to remember that God is an awesome, on time, never failing God. Okay. He's all powerful. And a lot of times his ways, not a lot of times, but most of the time, all of the time, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there is nothing impossible for God. So that bad situation, that tragedy, that health scare, whatever it is, he can still use all of that bad stuff and turn it into something so good, so great, that instead of crying out, why me, you'll be thanking him. And trust me, because like I said, in these 42 years of living, I have lived through some stuff. And guess what? They say that what kills you, what doesn't kill you, only makes you stronger. That is the truth. And the fact is that you have already, if you're listening to this radio show, you're listening to this broadcast, you have already survived 100% of everything that the devil has tried to use to take you out. So guess what? You're on the winning team. God is yet working all things together for your good. So I want you to remember that, number one. And number two, your purpose is often born through your pain. We all go through storms in life, okay? You, me, our parents, our kids, we all have our personal storms that we will go through in life. It's inevitable. But the question is, are you just gonna go through it? Or are you gonna allow God to grow you through it, okay? That storm is going to teach you some things about yourself. I promise it's going to teach you some things about yourself that you would have never known were it not for you going through that storm. So you're going to learn some things about you that you never knew, okay? That storm is going to connect you with some people that you would have never, ever connected with otherwise. That storm is going to awake a strength in you that's going to not only equip you to help somebody else through their storm, but it's going to have you closer to God. It's going to have you trusting him more, calling on him more than you have ever done before, okay? And what is that going to do? That's going to build that relationship with God. That's going to build that faith muscle, okay? Because we all know when it's like when you're exercising, all right? You may start off only being able to lift 5 pounds or 10 pounds. You may be able to do about 10 reps at a time. But then as you work, as you continue to exercise, as you continue to lift those weights, then the next week, maybe you're up to 15 and 20 and so on and so forth. The same thing goes for our faith muscle, okay? When we go through things, when we go through those storms in life, it builds our faith. Because what happens? Like I said, we start calling on God more. And when we're calling on God more, we're building a better relationship. Our prayer becomes more effective. or being able to listen to God and hear from Him becomes more clear. So instead of us throwing ourselves at God's mercy, now we're communicating. Now we're not just praying, we're worshiping God. We're thanking God because we know that without God, where would we be? Okay? So again, your purpose is often born through your storm, your pain. So what does that mean when we say that our purpose is born through our pain? Sometimes when life is going good, you know, we're sailing through life, the sun is shining, everything is going right. What happens? We may continue to pray every day, but we're just going through the motions. We're not really connected, as connected with God as we sometimes should be. So when we go through that pain, we begin to learn things about ourselves. We begin to learn that we are stronger than we thought we were. We begin to see ourselves and other people in different lights. We begin to tap into our inner strengths, our inner gifts, our inner talents that we may not never have known that we had. And from that, we figure out, okay, wow, I persevered through this storm and I'm great at this. I'm great at helping someone else now, because now that I've been through my storm, I can relate to others who are going through. I can teach them and show them that, guess what? I made it. And if I made it, you can too. Or through my storm, I got through my storm by writing. Wow, I never knew I was so great at writing. Maybe it's my purpose to write. Maybe it's my purpose to share my thoughts through poetry, to share my thoughts through spoken word, through writing books, through motivational speaking. Or we find out that I'm great at listening. I'm great at inspiring. I'm great at giving people encouragement, okay? I'm great at giving people advice. Or through your pain, maybe you find that, you know, that you were so broke you had to figure out a way to make some money. So now you're making meals to bring in extra money. You're selling plates. Or maybe you're doing crochet, or maybe you're doing any other type of creative work that you've used in your time of financial problems. So now what happens? That pain of you not having enough has now turned into a purpose, to where now you know that, oh, I can make money doing this, but also I can help people doing this, okay? So again, we have to remember that so often that pain that we're going through, that struggle that we're going through, is just those birthing pains of birthing our purpose. And if we keep pushing, if we do not give up, if we do not give in, if we trust God, continue to trust God through it all, then guess what? We're going to birth something so amazing. We're going to birth something so beautiful that we'll forget about those labor pains, ladies and gentlemen. We will forget about those labor pains, and we're just going to remember and see the blessing that was birthed, that purpose that was birthed through our pain, okay? So first of all, remember, no matter how it looks, that God is working all things together for your good. And secondly, remember that often through our purpose is born through our pain. So although we go through those struggles in life, although we go through those storms in life, it's okay. God is going to get you through it, and you're going to come out so much better than before. Okay. And let's just be honest. When we're going through things, we're not thinking about, you know, any of this. So that's why we have to try to remember. We have to try to stay connected to God, even when we're not going through things, because a lot of times He'll prepare us ahead of time for something that we may be about to go through, or for something that our loved ones are about to go through. So many of you know, in the last couple of weeks, tragedy hit a famous basketball player, Kobe Bryant, who most of us know. I don't care if you're a basketball fan, if you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan or not. 9 times out of 10, you knew who Kobe Bryant was one way or another. left high school, went straight to the NBA. His dad was an awesome basketball player. You may have even seen him in the news, you know, for some not so savory things when he was accused of rape. Let's just keep it real. And over the last 2 weeks, we watched as tragedy unfolded within the life of Kobe Bryant and his wife, Vanessa, and their four daughters. And unfortunately, you know, I pray for the family. I pray for Vanessa. I pray for his remaining children, because just watching, just getting the notification, we were in church when our pastor, you know, said we need to pray for Kobe Bryant and his family. And he announced the sad, just unbelievable news that he had went down in the helicopter. And when I say my entire church family, I mean, we're all mourning. You would think that Kobe was, you know, our relative, a close brother, a close uncle, or our own father or our own son, how we were mourning and how the mood in church just completely changed. Okay. So as we're sitting on the outside looking in on this family going through this storm, it was hard, and it is still hard, to see that anything purposeful or anything good can come out of this tragedy. And then when you find out, when we all found out that his baby girl, Gianna, was also with him, and seven other people that also lost their lives, okay? Each just as important as Kobe. You know, a lot of times we may send condolences to celebrities because they're in the limelight and we feel like we know them, we feel a connection to them. But we also have to remember that there were others, seven other families, two that were, you know, a husband and wife and their child, and then also another player's mom and herself, as well as the pilot and another coach who also had a family. They all had families. So I said all that to say that when we're going through the storm, when we're watching our loved ones, when we're watching our families going through the storm, sometimes we don't see the purpose. We don't see any good that can possibly come out of it, especially when it's something as tragic as an accident that causes death, as tragic as something that is so publicized that you're constantly reminded of it, that you as a mother, that you as a daughter, that you have a connection. You can relate so much and you're so sad because of this tragedy. It's hard for us to figure out, how are we going to get through this storm? How are we going to help our loved ones through that storm? And the question does arise, what now, God? What do we do? Well, let me tell you what I saw. And this is just my personal opinion. I saw so many people praying, more people praying that I've ever seen before, online and social media, within my family, within my church family, people that I didn't even know, you know, that were Christian, that believed in God. They came out, they prayed, they, you know, sent out love, they made cards, they came out to the Staples Center, the celebrities, you know, everybody was just shocked and hurt and tears. So this tragedy caused so many other people to go to God, caused so many other people to send out prayers to the families, the survivors, that I know without a doubt that something good has to come out of it. As horrible and as sickening and as tragic as the loss of all nine of those lives were, those were people's dads and moms and sisters and brothers and, you know, uncles. It is tragic. But on the flip end, how many people sent their prayers to God? How many people actually went out of their way to be there for the families, to help them through their tragedies? How many people were, you know, when they found out that Kobe had just came from Mass, you know, he's Catholic, so the news, you know, posted that he had just came from prayer. How many people turned their lives over to God? How many people, instead of holding grudges with their family members, instead of, you know, just going about the day-to-day ins and outs. Instead, called those people, called those loved ones who they may not have spoken to in a long time and reconnected, okay? So throughout this tragedy, throughout this storm, throughout the pain, there was still a purpose that God has, and it's still being revealed to many of us. So we have to pay attention. So again, oftentimes we go through our storms in life, but we have to know that in that storm, God is with us. It will bring us closer to God. It will help us to trust Him more, call on Him more, okay? And no matter how bad it looks, things are going to be all right, okay? So that was the second thing. And last but not least, when you feel like your life is falling apart, it just may be God putting you back together. We're all guilty of holding on to some things that we should not, okay? And if you like me, I hold on for things a lot longer than I should. I am guilty of that. But we're all guilty of holding on to things a lot longer than we should. Things that God has told us to let go. Things that we know we should let go. But for whatever reason, we are still holding on. We have a grip on it and we won't let it go. Whether it's a thing, whether it's a person that you're holding on to, whether it's a place, whether it's shame, whether it's guilt, whether it's unforgiveness, or maybe it's anger that you're holding on to, whatever it is, we've gotten so used to holding on to it that it starts to become a part of us. We live it, we breathe it, we think it, and God sees it. He knows. He sees that sad condition that we are in. And the good thing is, He loves us too much to leave us in that same sad place of hopelessness, that place of fear, of confusion, of hurt, of pain. So what does God do? I'll tell you what He does. God allows some things to happen, some people to betray us, some losses to occur, some health issues to happen, even tragedies where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? Sometimes God will do a thing that'll make it to where you have nobody but Him. You have no choice but to call on Him, to get on your knees and cry out, God, help me, okay? Like I said, I have been there. I have felt like my life was falling apart, all right? I have been through, and I know my listeners, you may be going through something right now. You may have be just getting over something, but we've all been there, okay? And so what happens is God allows these things to happen where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? My God, thank you, God. And then at that moment when God finally gets our full attention, what does He do? He just begins to love on us. He begins to ease our pain, to take over that burden. God speaks to us. He lets us know, my child, I got you, okay? I got you. Somebody needs to hear that. My child, I got you, okay? And the part that I love the most is how He replaces that pain and all those bad feelings, all that negative energy that we were so tightly holding on to, like it was, you know, like our life depended on it. He replaces that with joy and the comforting assurance of the truth of His word, okay? He tells us and He shows us, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Let me say that again. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed. Do you hear that? He reminds us to fear not, for I am with you. And my favorite, He lets us know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. You see, He reassures us, He comforts us with the truth of His word. When we feel like our life is falling apart, He reminds us of all His wonderful promises. So to my listeners today who may be going through a personal storm, who may be surrounded by those who are going through storms, and maybe you're a friend or a family member and your loved one is going through some things. We just have to remember that when trouble comes your way, when tragedy hits, when it feels like your life is falling apart, just rest in knowing that God is with you through every storm. Your purpose is being birthed through that pain. And God is not, I repeat, God is not going to allow you to fall apart without His perfect plan to put you back together stronger, physically, mentally, spiritually. And yes, honey, when I say God is good, He will put you back together way better than before. I'm a living witness, okay? So in the midst of all those personal issues, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, in the midst of unspeakable tragedies, just do your best to stay focused on God and allow Him to help you find the way. Because even as He helps you find the way, He's also teaching you how to help somebody else find theirs, okay? So again, when your life is falling apart, just know that it really may be God putting you back together. And on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in, for listening to this week's segment of the What Now God Radio Show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'll see you every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Tune in and tell a friend. Listen to the What Now God Radio Show. I'll see you all next time. You have a blessed and happy Friday.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I am your host, Sonya Nelson of the Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast. And as always, make yourself comfortable as you sit back and relax and enjoy listening to my special guest today, who's going to give us part two on peace, finding peace in such a time as this. My special guest is Joy McCoverey, and she is known as the one who is going to make Jesus's name famous again. Hey, she is a listener, a speaker, a teacher, a writer, and a coach. But most importantly, she is a humble servant of God who has dedicated her life to being the hands, feet, and mouthpiece of Jesus Christ with love and compassion. It is my honor and pleasure to bring her back again for this part two of her message of peace, especially in such a time as this. So without further ado, the Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast welcomes Joy McCoverey. Take it away, Joy.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am so excited to come back on to do the second part of peace, having peace in a time such as this. And I really enjoy the opportunity to speak like the very first time on part one of peace. And I just want to reiterate what we talked about before I go into actually the next phase of part two. We talked about how to find peace in such a time as this. And one of the things that we've noticed and we've been going through, there's been so much going on since the beginning of 2020, since January 2020, when we came in all excited about what we were going to do in 2020, and 2020 was going to be the double this, and 2020 we were going to see clearly, and we were going to do all of these things. And all of a sudden, by March, we had something that really truly just interrupted everybody's peace. It actually interrupted the world's peace. And that was what happened with COVID, and the things that are happening with COVID, and the things, and people are losing their lives, and people are losing jobs. And we even got to a point where we were being quarantined and staying at the house and being around people all day that we probably haven't been around in years. And our children have not literally been in school since March. Instead of them having a 3-month summer break, they had almost a 5-month summer break. So a lot of things just came and really interrupted our peace. And even for some of us, before all of COVID came, we were walking in 2019, 2018 without peace. So all of a sudden, if you didn't have peace before, you sure enough now are really just looking like, okay, I don't even understand. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And so I just wanted to come on and just encourage everyone that there is peace. There is peace. But it's sometimes not in the things that we want to have peace in, or sometimes not in the ways that we think that we ought to be able to get peace. So the last time we talked about, we just talked about the word peace, and I gave words for each letter that would help us to understand how to move in peace. So I started with the word P, and I gave you pause, and I gave you patience. And one of the things that we need to think about is that even in peace, a lot of times when things come at us, storms, fiery dots, things that come expected or unexpected, the first thing we need to do is pause. We need to pause because it's the enemy's job at that moment to take away our peace, to take away our joy, to take away our sanity. So we need to stop. So right now, even like right now, if you're sitting at home, if you're listening to this and you feel like, I don't know what to do. I'm just, my mind, I can't find balance here. I can't do that. Just take a moment right now and just pause. Just pause. Just take a deep breath and know that the fact that you're still living, the fact that you're still surviving, the fact that you're able to even listen to this broadcast today, that God brought you to this broadcast for you to say, it's okay to pause. It's okay to get quiet. It's okay not to have the answers sometimes. It's okay. And so when we take away all the stresses, then some of our peace starts to come forth by understanding that I don't know what to do in a time like this, and being able to verbally say that I don't know what to do, or I'm lost, or I need help. Being able to verbally say that takes away a lot of the weight off our shoulders, and all of a sudden we're opening the door to get peace. The next one is the word peace, and I gave you two for that. I gave you patience. One of the things that we have to learn is having patience. Right now, this world is such a fast-paced world. We have cell phones, we have computers, we have technology, we have deadlines, we have all of these things that are coming at us every single day. Like literally when we wake up in the morning, our minds can think of 15 things that we already got to do within that day. So with that being said, as you pause, learn to be patient in things that you're trying to accomplish. Learn to be patient in the things that, that we need to be able to be patient in, because when you're patient, you'll be able to move in such a different way, a different atmosphere. You'll start to see things and God can clearly start speaking and you can clearly start hearing because you're not trying to rush everything so much. The word E for evaluation, we were like E and peace. Evaluate, take time to look and say, okay, what is truly going on? And evaluate, what can I put my hands to right now and what I can't put my hands to right now? That would also start to bring an element of peace. We talked about acknowledging and accepting. And one of the things about acknowledging and accepting, we need to acknowledge the fact that things has changed. Things are not the same. Things may, and they may not never go back to being the same. So instead of having this atmosphere of this mindset or environment of, I can't wait till things get back better. We might not get back there. We might not get back to the place where we thought that was better. So we need to start acknowledging and accepting things has started to change. And sometimes that will also get us back in peace. The next one is the word, is the letter C for C, and we said Christ, and we also said centered. So for C, for Christ and centered, we need to realize that Christ is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. And the only thing also, he has to be the center. And so when I get ready to do part two, I'm going to come back and reiterate a scripture that I got a chance to be able to just, I want to expound on a little bit. And the last word letter is the letter E for edifying and encouraging. We need to make sure that in order to be able to even find peace or stay in peace or get peace, we need to start encouraging ourselves. Encouraging is not going to be easy, but we already know that we got Christ, that we can make it. That's the things we have to say to ourselves in the morning. Even when we get up in the morning and we pray, sometimes we also need to decree and declare things over our life. We need to speak affirmations over ourselves that I can do it, that I can do all things in Christ, that today is going to be a good day. Today I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal my joy or to steal my peace. We have to open our mouths and decree it so that God can be, the Holy Spirit can use it and manifest it forward. So sometimes it's all, a lot of times it's about what we do and how we look at things for our peace. But we're going to go into part two. And part two, I want to be able to talk about pause a little bit. So as we go forth and learn about how to have peace in such a time as this, I want to make sure that we understood just the letters that we were talking about. And the very first one, the P, the pause, I really, really, truly want to just make sure that we sit right there for a minute. If we sit there for a minute about the word pausing. And you all, I'm actually in the midst of, you know, creating a book about pause. And one of the things I wanted to make sure that everybody understands and knows is that pausing is so vital. It's like it's very vital in our lives because a lot of times we do not take the opportunity to stop. And a lot of times we do not take the opportunity to be able to say, wow, this has hurt me, or wow, things are changing. We don't like to verbalize things, so we always are stuffing stuff in. And then we want to have peace. It's impossible to have peace when you're so stuffed that God can't even get in, that the Holy Spirit can't speak to you because you're so full that you don't want to hear anything, or you're trying to isolate yourself, or you're trying to find peace and stuff like, I just need to go to the park, which is a good thing. But then when you're going to the park, are you going to be able to be with God and listen, or are you just trying to go, let's get away? A lot of times we start saying, oh, I just need to go shopping, or I just need to do this and I need to do that. And a lot of times we use those as crutches, when in actuality, we really just need to go back within ourselves and go back to pausing and being able to say, okay, let me literally look at my life. Let me focus on my life. Let me write down some things that I feel that might be hindering me from my peace. Because a lot of times our peace is being hindered from the things that we have inside of us and the things that we have around us. So it's inner and external. So that's the things that we have to understand. Peace is not no magic pill. Amen. Jesus is not no magic pill. We have to use him every day. Not only when we want him or when we want to pull him out of our pocket. It's something that we have to do daily. It's something that we have to engage in daily. So as I move into my part two, what are you allowing to steal your peace? Because that's the thing right now. We talked about what peace is a little bit. We gave you some acronyms for what peace, for each letter. And we also gave you the understanding that Jesus is the peace. He is peace. There's nothing in this world that can bring us peace but him. So let me start off that by reading this scripture to you. I want to read to you John, the 16th chapter. And I want to read the 33rd verse. So that's St. John, the 16th chapter, the 33rd verse. It says, these things I have spoken to you. The world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. So if you're trying to find peace in anything in this world, if you're trying to find it through your spouse, if you're trying to find it through your children, if you're trying to find it through your job, if you think making more money is going to bring you peace or getting this promotion is going to bring you peace, then already you're already walking in the wrong direction. Because everything in this world is not going to bring you peace. It's going to bring you responsibility. And that's the thing that we don't realize. Because the more stuff that we get, the more stuff we have to be responsible of. The more stuff we acquire, the more we're going to use our energy and use our joy and our peace and our happiness to keep it or to maintain it. And so therefore, a lot of times things do not bring us peace. They may bring us joy every now and then and a little happiness, but peace only comes through Jesus. It says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now, Jesus is saying this in red. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And that's the mindset we ought to realize. In this world, there are going to be troubles. We're not going to have a good day every day. Matter of fact, we might not have a good day every minute or every hour. But the thing is, he says, be of good cheer. That means he says, be of good cheer. He says, because I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, hey, if you got me, then I can give you the ability to overcome and gain this peace. But if you're trying to get peace based on yourself or trying to get peace based on what other people say peace is, or if you do this and girl, you do this, or man, you do this, or young person, you do this, a lot of times that's not going to bring you peace because you're trying to walk somebody else's journey. You're trying to walk somebody else's instructions. So the thing is, yes, let's go to Jesus. Let's go to the one who says, I've already overcome everything that you're getting ready to go through. And that's why I sent the Holy Spirit to you, so the Holy Spirit can guide you and lead you and talk to you and give you instructions so you can find your way back to me where there's peace. Perfect example. If you're having issues with your job, a lot of times we don't realize that our jobs are something that gives us a lot of stresses too, because a lot of times we're working so we can make a paycheck so we can take care of stuff. And so it's an obligation to some people and not just, oh, I'm doing this because I love it, or I'm doing this because I'm called to it. So in those cases, when we get to those particular jobs, because our heart says, I want to do a good job, I need to do a good job, because this happens to directly touch other things like bills and my family and my houses, then that can already put a stressor on us that we don't even realize. But if we add Jesus to the mix and say, okay, Lord, you have given me this job. So then as I go into this job, what is it that I need to do? Am I here to make a difference? Am I here to do whatever you have called me to do? Not saying that he will give you the ability to do all the other tasks that comes along with that job too. But just know you're at that particular place for a reason. You're right there for a particular reason, to make Jesus' name famous. There is somebody you're going to meet. there's something that's going to happen within that time that you're getting to get ready to be able to express to them your testimony or to get to meet somebody that's new. So a lot of times I tell people that we really don't do jobs. We're actually on assignment. And when that assignment is over, then God will sometimes move us. Now, what about those people that have been at a job for 30 years? Your assignment might have been to be at that job 30 years. You might have a flow that God can use from year to year to year to year. But if we look at it as, Lord, I'm going there for you. I'm going there to be able to give somebody you. I'm going there, Lord, even if it's, doctor offices, teachers, counselors, all of us, we're going to be the hands and feet of God. So if we look at what God wants us to do, then we'll find the peace in it. Because guess what? The world part of it, the natural part of it, is not going to always be pleasant. It's not. You're going to always have deadlines. You're going to always have somebody saying you need to do something better. You're going to always have somebody saying that wasn't good enough. You're going to always have somebody say, well, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you about the meeting, and you show up 30 minutes late and everybody looking at you. There's always going to be some kind of ism in the natural. But if you know that you're going to be able to do whatever God calls you to do, then that's where you'll find your area of peace. That's how we find our peace. It's finding him. I want to say also, and I'm still in John, the 14th chapter, verse 27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. That's the thing we need to make sure we pay attention. Jesus said, I give you peace. So if he's giving it to you, your peace is in your hand. So the question again is, what are you allowing to steal your peace? Who are you allowing to steal your peace? Because he says, when I left, if you got me, if you have Jesus, he said, I've given you peace. I've left you peace. I've left you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be able to tell you and guide you on how to do things and also give you the power to be able to do it. So the thing is, are we doing what the Word say do? Are we doing what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do? Or are we still always doing what we want to do? Because if we're doing what we want to do, there's no peace in that. But if we're doing what God tells us to do, even when it's hard, even when the storms come up, it's going to be peaceful because we're going to know that we're doing it to please him. Anything we're trying to do to please ourselves, that's when we lose peace, because the majority of the time it doesn't happen. So as we go forth in part two, as we go forth and say how to find peace in such a time as this, my whole thing to you is through Jesus. Getting in this word, understanding what the word say, communing with God through prayer, meditating, asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Holy Spirit, what is it, or who am I allowing to steal my peace? And sometimes we have to start clipping things. We have to start walking away and making those hard decisions so we can get back in our place of peace. And knowing that if we're pleasing God at the end of the day, if we're pleasing Jesus at the end of the day, and if we're doing what the Holy Spirit tells us to do at the end of the day, then we will find the peace that we so desire.
Well, wow. What a way to end this on peace. Our peace is in Jesus, just like you said. And it's you hit on so many things for me, because I am in that place of different things right now of seeking my own peace. I'm kind of speechless, honestly, on what to say. It's a lot to digest. It's a lot to know, to internalize on your own, to know, you know, you got to work on some stuff. And, and bring Jesus into the mix of everything.
Yeah.
So in this season, to all our listeners, in this season, when peace may not be easily found, whether you're a believer or not, there is still hope. Hold on. Pull yourself up. Believe, and I'm all for what you were saying about sometimes we have to speak those things over ourselves. And that used to be a pattern of mine. It's so easy how you can get out of habit of doing the right things that kept you going, that now you have to really just return back to the basics.
Yes.
Just returning back to the basics. So thank you again for bringing part two on peace in such a time as this, because we really do need it. I thank you for being a vessel that God uses to reaffirm his people through his word. And I'm looking forward to many more conversations with you. And I'm looking forward to the book or books that shall be published in your name. So thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. This was a wonderful message from Joy McCovery. Again, she's the one who's going to make Jesus's name famous again. So thank you for tuning in, everyone, on this episode of Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast. And until next time, loves, keep shining. Keep shining. And God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.